Well, I guess I rambled on enough here, guys. Anybody want to have anything to share? You want to get up and share anything? Take the mic. Mike, go ahead and just raise your hand so I can call on you so there's not a bunch of confusion. Drummer Girl says, thank you. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I'm just trying to help God's people. And it's hard because they come to this whole issue with a stubborn refusal to accept the truth because they've been taught error all their lives. They don't want to see the truth. And lots of God's people are lazy. They're just spiritually lazy. They don't want to have to fight. They want to watch and pray and fight and do battle and, you know, constantly watch and constantly do battle. They don't want to do that. They want a gospel that says believe, and that's it. Jesus is going to take care of everything else. So as soon as you start talking about demons in people's lives, usually there's a big ruckus because, I mean, most people don't even want to hear it. They just don't hear it. No one deals with it, don't want to hear it. Or Ken Gallery, wait a minute. Ken Gallery says, I think if we spend more time warning about Lakeland, which we should, the enemy will use that to deceive us in other ways. I agree that we need to be sober. And yeah, amen. That's right. Lots of people warning about Lakeland. They're totally whacked. Totally whacked. They're just as bad as Lakeland almost, you know, in different ways. And that's one of the things the devil loves to do. He loves to get us watching all the other people. This is a trick. I'll expose this right now. This is a trick to get us watching other people. If God puts something in your life, somebody in your life to help, that's one thing. And he gives you somebody to shepherd or watch over to help in the Lord, that's one thing. But if we are just constantly watching other people, watching what all the deceived people are doing, watching what's going on in church, watching all the time, watching other people, that turns into a deception very quickly. God wants us to watch ourselves first, and then those around us who he's put in our life to help. My point is, you just can't watch all the dumb Christians who are going down. It produces self-righteousness. It produces a false sense of security. It produces all kinds of things that make us blind and set us up for the devil to come get us in. With a whole different, you know, it just comes from the side, off on the side. We're not expecting something. We don't know about, don't expect, don't see. Bam, sidewalks us. I would be careful about constantly watching out there. It's okay to have information. You know, the Bible says, have an answer for the hope that's in you. Anybody asks you about Lakeland, it's good to know what's going on. Things Todd Bentley said. But I wouldn't keep watching it and focus on it. Just like I wouldn't keep focusing on what happened to Vineyard or Rodney Howard Brown or the Mormons or anybody else. You know, we're the ones. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. He's after us. He already has Todd Bentley. He doesn't care if you talk about Todd Bentley until you're dead. He wants you. So it's not good to just dwell on them and constantly watch other people. It's so easy to start comparing ourselves to other people that are deceived. Very easy, without even knowing it. And so I do look at other people just for information's sake, so I have an answer for people. But I'm constantly watching myself, constantly watching those around me. The ones that are closest to you are the ones you got to watch because that's the ones the devil's going to try and get in and use. Amen. Okay, out of the fire. Kathy, go ahead, Kathy. I didn't see your hand there. Go ahead.
This whole deception thing is getting so huge. I mean, we are seeing people fall. It seems like every time you look at any way you look, somebody else is falling. People that you really thought had the truth and were walking in the light, and they're falling for one deception or another. So I think if anything, for all of us, it really should give us a realization that this is not something light. This is not something, oh, well, I can't be deceived. You know, don't even think that, because any of us are susceptible. All we have to do is take our eye off Christ and start thinking that we're something, and we're in big trouble. That's, I think, how most people have fallen. And we know that it's going to get worse. So I think, if anything, it's humbling and it's sobering and it's very sad because, you know, I'm sure that some of you have family members who are into this stuff too, and I know I do, and they can't hear me. They don't even talk to me because we see things so differently. But it's just, we really need to support each other, and at the same time, I think we have a duty when you know something is really way off and is dangerous, we have a duty to warn others, but at the same time, also, we can't dwell on it. We can't make it our focus. We have to keep our eye focused on the Lord and pressing into a relationship and laying down all of the things in our lives that are hindering that walk. You know, it's just, we're in a battle, people. It's really getting serious.
Amen, Kathy. That's exactly right. Thanks for sharing. I'm glad you kept trying until you got through. That's exactly right. Good word. That's what I was trying to say. You got to be led by the Spirit as far as talking to people about this thing. We should warn them, but you got to be led by the Spirit. Okay. Go ahead, Tim. You got the mic, Tim. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. I want to share something from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about delusion. I read verse 11. Oh no, verse from verse 10 to 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I think this verse is talking about those born-again Christians. They don't love the truth of God and they don't receive it. So that God himself will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So I hear people talking about, you know, how to discern, how to keep ourselves from being deceived. But the point is, if we don't love the truth of God, if we don't receive the truth from him, if we don't submit ourselves to God, if we don't die to ourselves daily, then you know what? God himself is going to send you a strong delusion, and he himself will let you believe a lie. And if God wants you to believe a lie, who else can deliver you from it? No one. So I think, you know, for me, my focus is on how, you know, I should, you know, humble myself daily and crucify my flesh every day, so that I receive the truth from God. I die to myself daily, so that Jesus Christ can live in me and I can be holy every day. That way I keep myself under the protection of God, and he's not going to send me a lie. He's going to send me truth. So that's something I want to share in the room. Thank you.
Good. Great. Thanks for sharing, Tim. That's right. Exactly right. Amen, brother. Amen. Hugh says, I like what you said about mystery of iniquity and the saints walking in the flesh being devoured by Satan. Also, Tim pointed out that Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. That is a powerful point that I have come to understand tonight. Good. That's what you want to say. Good. Thanks for coming in. Amen. You're welcome anytime, brother. And thanks for sharing, Tim. That was a good word. Thanks a lot. Anybody else have anything? Perm says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Amen, Perm. That's the problem with the death to self message. A lot of people know it in their head, but they're not walking in it. They're getting deceived. They sit around and talk about death to self and talk about obeying God and talk about this and talk about that, but they're not really doing it. Talking about being separate from the world, and they're still, well, I won't mention what they're doing, but, you know, they're not separate from the world. And, you know, they get involved with deceptions because they're not walking the talk. You know, talking the talk, but not walking the walk. The fire says it's about being more than doing. Everyone is doing fewer being. Well, yeah, I'm talking about doing, though, as far as judging yourself. Are you doing what God, you know, God wants you to do? That's what I'm talking about, right? Doing, not doing religious works and doing this and doing that, but are you being what God told you to be, right? Yeah, that's what you're saying, right? Hugh says, last church I attended would have a serious problem with this teaching. Oh, because the once saved, always saved, false never. Amen. I know, I'm sure. That's why I'm going to be popular with the churches, because of what I'm teaching. And I don't want to be popular either, but I'm just saying. Tim says, doing is manifestation of being. Amen. Right. I think that's what she was saying, too. It's what you, God wants you to be what you're supposed to be. She's talking about being the truth in the sense of doing the truth. I think we're talking about the same thing there. I know, but the way a man is to do without ever growing up or being... Yes, our fruit tells a tale. Yeah, that's right. Fruit. That's what I'm talking about. Fruit. Doing is fruit. Amen. Creaky says, I live in an isolated area. I'm surrounded by fundamentalists and Jehovah's Witnesses. I know there are God's people out there walking in the crucified life, but I haven't found one yet. Well, yeah, it's hard to walk alone. And, you know, sometimes I wonder where the other 7,000 are myself, like you told Elijah. But they're out there. They're hard to find. That's right. They're out there, though. And you just got to trust God that when he wants to bring somebody your way, he will. And until then, we got to be satisfied to walk alone or have whatever fellowship we can. You know, we fellowship with people on the phone. You know, we have a lot of our fellowship is over the phone because we're too far away to visit all the time. But you got to do what you can do, but you just got to let it in God's hands and be willing to walk alone until he does something different in your life. That's the only thing I can tell you. Perm says he's looking too, and kind of, yeah, right. Creaky says, I do have my husband. Well, that's good. There you go. At least that's somebody. Some people are totally, I have a mailing list. And most of the people on my mailing list don't come in this room. They don't even do computers or anything like that. But I've got people on my mailing list who are absolutely totally alone. They have absolutely no one in their life. Zero. That's a hard place to walk in. So you just got to trust the Lord. He's going to do what's best for you. Try and yield to it until he does something different. That's what I do. That's what I can tell you. Kathy says, we have given up on finding anyone in the flesh. But God brings people into our lives for sharing and growth. Amen. Yeah, you had pal talk. You got Steve's room. You got a little fellowship in Steve's room. Or wherever, and wherever else you go. You got here, people in here. You know, it's good. I think it's good that we're not all together. Because I tell you, it's so easy to start another denomination, to start another clique, another club. And I just believe God's going to keep all his jewels hidden until the very end. You know, I just believe we're going to be basically separate. I mean, he may bring a few of us together here and there. But we're going to be separate until the very end. There's a cloud of darkness over the whole earth. And beneath that cloud, nobody can see. There's a jewel here that God's bringing forth. And a jewel over here that he's perfecting. There's a little two or three people over here he's doing. One person over here he's doing. Some people in Canada. Some people in Alaska. Some people, you know, in Malaysia, different places. And at the end, we're all going to come together when the Lord comes. But I think God's making sure that the hand of flesh doesn't mess this one up. Because he can't afford it. Can't afford to have us mess it up. We get together. We get involved in each other's lives. And sometimes we just... we get too caught up in the fellowship and being around each other and having somebody in our lives, you know. It's very easy to mess up what God's doing. It just is. So I think he's keeping a lot of us separate to the very end. He wants to make sure the work is done and done right. And at the very end, he's going to bring us together. All his jewels are going to come out of hiding. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, what it's going to look like or anything like that, but generally speaking, I believe that's what's going to happen. So don't be afraid to be hidden. You should have a desire to fellowship. Every Christian should have a desire to fellowship with other Christians. But if you're separated, don't fret over it, because I think that's God's will for a lot of us. And if you ever have a chance to fellowship, great. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. As I would rather be alone than have a few things he brings to us than have a multitude of... That's right. That's what I said about this room. You know, it's like 15... How many people in this room tonight? I don't even know. 26? That's a lot. I don't want any more. I really don't want any more than this. You know what I mean? It's impossible to take a big crowd to perfection. I'm sorry. If you got a big crowd, I mean, you're not going to take it to perfection. You're not going to go to perfection with them. It's just not possible. The work is too deep. The things that God has to deal with, dig out of our soul and deliver us from, are too deep. Lots and lots and lots of people ain't never going to go that way. I like to keep it small and simple. That's why I have a password on the thing. I don't want a lot of people. It may sound ignorant and rude. I don't want to sound ignorant and rude. It's not that I don't care, but whoever God's put in fellowship with me in my life, I want to make sure everything counts, everything's done right, and we go the whole way, and we get it right. You know, I'm interested in numbers and have everybody get messed up and more around. Hugh says, Dan, I have a few brethren to tell me about this. Yeah, don't worry about that. That's fine. You told people about my site? No, I'm not worried about that. I don't care if they come to my website. I don't care if thousands of people come to my website. I just don't want a lot of people in the room. Only what God draws. Let me say this to make it clear. If somebody wants to invite somebody in this room, that's fine. Just make sure it's the Holy Spirit. That's all. I'm not saying don't invite anybody. I don't want anybody else in here. You're the group, and that's it. I don't want anybody else. I'm just saying, just be sure you're led by the Spirit. If you want to invite somebody, that's fine. Be sure you're led by the Spirit, because it's not the more the merrier. That's the world, the more the merrier. Here, it's the more trouble. You know. But if God's leading somebody in here, then I want them in here. I want to help those who God is drawing. But it's very easy to get caught up in getting numbers and increasing your numbers and just get everything messed up. Have the Spirit leave. Be grieved and leave. So don't be shy about leaving people on my site. I don't care who comes on my site. And I don't want anybody to not bring anybody in the room. If you feel like you want to invite somebody, just be led of the Spirit. Because I don't want to keep people out that are going on in God. I'm after the remnant. I want to be helping and in fellowship with the remnant that's going on, the whole way to God. The ones that are going to produce 100-fold fruit. I saw somebody in here called 100-fold fruit recently. Are they still here? Whatever. That's what I want. Somebody there called, oh no, faith. Yeah, 100-fold, whatever that is. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I'm going after. And that's the kind of people I want to be involved with, however much I can be involved with them. 100-fold fruit, going all the way, dead serious about what God's doing. No games, no compromise. So that's where I'm at. And I don't know where everybody else is at, but that's where I'm at. Amen? That's right, Rebecca. Everything you're saying is right. Amen. Kermit says that the Gideonized group of God. Gideonized. Okay, Gideonized. 300 can do the work. God needs to be done. If they're all committed, and they're all deadly serious about what God's doing. And that's the kind of people I want to be around. I ain't got no time for the mixed multitude. There's plenty of other places the mixed multitude can go and do their talking head thing and spout out their religious knowledge and all that kind of stuff. I want the real thing. I want the real deal. I want to be involved with those who are doing the real thing. You know, I'm sure you guys do too, or you wouldn't be in my room listening to me babble all this time. Amen. Okay, so anybody else have anything they want to share? Thanks for sharing, you guys, tonight. I'm glad you came. Glad you're sharing. Has everybody seen my song page that I put up there for the chat room songs? Kathy says the time for mixture. That's right. Amen, Kathy. The time for mixture is at an end. That's all God's had since the church lost its life in the 3rd century. It's all it's been is mixture, big, huge mixture. God's bringing the people to perfection No more mixture. Also, a couple of you did see that? Good. I put that up there because I know some of you liked some of those songs. So I'm just going to keep listing them in that page. So keep going back. As I sing them up, put them on that page. And also, I'm going to reduce on the ones that are really bad because trying to record these sessions on this little computer of mine, it's always all kinds of skips and jumps and pops. And so I'm going to keep redoing them as time goes by. And Hugh says he wants us to enter into the Amen, the Holy of Holies. I'm going to do a thing on the tabernacle. I've been meaning to do that, too. Maybe I'll try and get that together next week, for next week, the thing on the tabernacle. I've been wanting to do that and never get around to it. Rebecca says, not many Christian songs I can listen to. Oh, good. Good for you. We should all be so picky. Amen. We should all be so picky. Kathy or Guy says, we have been taught so much error, so many wrong attitudes and expectations, but God's cleansing his temple, which thing we are praying. Amen. Amen, Kathy, Guy. Amen. And I want to be part of that. And I want to go all the way, baby. I want to go all the way. The songs I listen to are my prayers. Oh, good. Great. That's right. That's good. They're good, great songs. God, people who were walking in tabernacles, were walking this deeper life, they wrote those songs. Those songs all came out of a life laid down. People walking crucified lives. That's why there's anointing on them. They don't necessarily know, I'm anointed singing them, but there's anointing on them. That's why there's modern music coming out. It's just, there's no life in it because the people ain't walking in the truth. They're not walking in it. They're just writing good words. And they're putting nice sounding music to it. They're nice songs, a lot of them, and nice words, but there's no life in them. You know, I'm after life. Life, God's life. That's the only thing that's going to hold you. Purim says, tabernacles is the rapture when we receive new bodies, right? Well, I don't want to go into it too much. Tabernacles is made up of three different feasts, sub-feasts. Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and booths, it's called. Tabernacles proper is called booths. The first two parts of those feasts, trumpets and Day of Atonement, are actually being fulfilled. Trumpets actually was fulfilled. Day of Atonement is being fulfilled right now. Booths, the actual tabernacles proper, won't be fulfilled until Jesus comes back, until we get new bodies. After the return of the Lord, we're going to go into the Feast of Tabernacles proper. But right now, we've got to go through the Day of Atonement and get cleansed so we can be what we're supposed to be in that day with the Lord. Generally, just the general overview there. Does that answer your question there? Mm-hmm. Kathy says, I want to walk on water. Totally freaked out my universe's mother out when I told her. I bet you she did freak out over that. That's interesting. Karen Sin has a good teaching on his website. I do have some things on about tabernacles. Okay, hang on a second. Looks like Kimberly has her hand up. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, I just wanted to share something that's been giving me victory recently in my thought life. I was taught when I became a Christian, that thoughts are demons. That, you know, because demons give us thoughts. Not all thoughts are demons from demons, but a lot of the thoughts we get are from demons. And before I used to just rebuke the thoughts and they go away, but starting a couple weeks ago, you know, that wasn't, for whatever reason, that wasn't working for me anymore. And I feel the Lord showed me that since, you know, the demons, they were defeated on the cross by the blood of Jesus. So now, when I rebuke thoughts, I call on the blood of Jesus, and I just, you know, just say something to the effect of, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I rebuke this thought. And when I started calling on the blood of Jesus, I started getting victory over my thought life again, and I just wanted to share that.
Good. Thanks for sharing, Kim. That's great. You're right. Sometimes, a lot of times, thoughts are spirits. Not just coming from our flesh or from our heart. A lot of times they come from spirits. They're being planted in there from a demon spirit. And calling on the blood is essential. That's what I wrote in my newsletter. Probably most of you didn't see my newsletter, but I started writing on the overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they love not to lies on the death. And one of the things I wrote in there, said in there, was saved by the blood is not just a reference to being saved originally by the blood, coming to salvation. Having victory, getting victory through the blood is using the blood, the power of the blood, the power of Jesus' name, and the power of the blood, it's in the blood, to overcome the things we're facing, the temptations, and especially demon spirits we're facing in our lives. So, that's right. Amen, Kim. That's very good. I'm glad you can start to get victory. Thanks a lot for sharing. Keep on going. Kathy says, amen. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. You guys, I don't want to go into this too much, but you guys know that in Revelation 12 about the vision of the woman and the man-child and all that. That man-child is the remnant, is Zion, is the remnant of the church. It's going to overcome Satan in every aspect. When it calls to God, that's a picture of us overcoming Satan totally. And when we, or whoever is going to make it, I'm including myself because I don't have any faith that I'm going to make it. Well, whoever actually gets to that point, when we get to that point and walk in that, Satan's going to be cast out of heaven. Satan's going to be cast out of heaven down the earth. And that's God's will for us to come to that point where we're overcoming not just the flesh, not just the self-life, that's also necessary, but also any kind of spirits are still, you know, trafficking in our souls that haven't been laid down, parts of our souls. So it's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake for those of us who understand what's going on, who God has given us this revelation and this calling and this opportunity. There's a lot at stake. God's invested a lot in us. And it's not like if we fail, God's going to fail, but he's still, it's a lot at stake for creation. He's going to use the sons of God, the man-child. He's going to use the overcomer to set creation free when he comes back. You know, and somebody's got to make it. Somebody's got to be part of that company. Somebody's got to go all the way and bear hundredfold fruit, overcome totally all the power of the enemy and all the flesh life and all the self life. And so it's a high stakes thing we're in for, not just for ourselves, but for the creation. So that's why I'm so serious and constantly exhorting people. Fight, 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 fight. Watch, watch, watch. Let's see here. It seems like Kathy says, it seems like the religious spirits that are operating so widely today are the enemy's big guns, so to speak, because people who should know better are falling. Yeah, they are. That's right, Kathy. They are the big guns. This is Satan's last effort to overcome the church. He's pulling out all the stops. Okay, looks like Tim wants to say something. Go ahead, Tim. You got the mic, brother.
Hi, thanks, Dan. I have a testimony I want to share with the with you guys to encourage you. I'm very thankful to God because He's faithful. Remember, the scripture says God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And I just have a testimony to share with you. And I know it's a spiritual warfare as Christians. We face spiritual warfare every day, every moment. We have to guard our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, and to discern it, even to discern our own thoughts, to see if it comes from our flesh or comes from the Holy Spirit. And then we choose to follow it or not. And my testimony is my wife and I had a big fight for a couple of times. Basically, it's a war, it's a spiritual warfare, and I realized that. And the first few times I stumbled because I committed sin because I was provoked. My flesh was provoked me to commit sin in anger. And then the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, convicted me in my heart and told me that I need to repent. So I said to my wife, I said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, and I beg, you know, I want you to forgive me, and I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And after a few, then last time we had a real very, very serious spiritual warfare between us. Basically, it's a fight between spirit and the flesh, because I know my wife is not in the spirit when she said that and when she do something. So I just rebuked her. I said, it's evil for you to say so, because it's totally flesh, comes from the flesh, and you speak that because you are not speaking in the spirit. That's the way I told her honestly and in love, but she wouldn't accept it. It just got her angry, and she wants to fight but I just keep myself straight in the spirit. I was, you know, provoked in the flesh, but I just subdue it through the spirit, and I didn't commit sin, and I just keep telling her it's wrong. I'm not angry, even though you did terrible things. You said terrible things. I just tell you it's sin. It's abomination in the sight of God. You need to repent. And I tell you this because I love you. I don't want to see you do this and, you know, destroy the family and destroy, our children's faith in God and destroy our family, you know. We almost come to the verge of, you know, really damaging the family, really, you know, she's about to do something that's going to have a serious consequence. But I believed in God. I just keep telling her, you know, it's sin. You have to repent. And I do this in love. I did not get involved into any, you know, any fleshly things. So, and it miraculously, after a few days of separation, physical separation, I didn't talk to her much after that, and I just prayed for her repentance and pray that God would, preserve a family and, because I obeyed God. And I was so thankful that my wife, God changed her heart and gave her a heart of repentance. And she confessed to me that she was wrong. And now she's in agreement with me spiritually. And she's, according to scripture, she's obedient to me, and I just do whatever, you know, we just obey the Bible, obey the scriptures. And God has saved, it's almost come to the verge that I can't bear that anymore. But God is faithful that He preserved us because of the obedience that we showed to His word, that He blessed us in the end, that our marriage was, preserved and is blessed, and the enemy's attack wasn't successful at all. And, I was so thankful because I can see the change in her heart. From the love of the world to total submission of herself to God and to the obedience to her husband. And this is my testimony, and I just want you to know. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks for sharing, Tim. Glad you shared that testimony. You're right. God is faithful if we all just yield and obey. It's a rough life when your marriage isn't working out. I know. It's a hard thing to live with. I'm glad the Lord came through for you, Tim. Okay. Thanks, Hugh. I'm glad you come on back next week, Hugh. And thank you, Karen, and everybody for coming. If anybody else have anything to share before we close it down? Okay. Well, we'll see you next Sunday. God willing, and the river don't rise. You're all welcome, and God bless you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing.